Hi everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Just give a couple of seconds so that I know you can all hear me. Cool. Welcome. Welcome to the third day of Stamp Connect. You are watching one of our really brilliant programming panels with a really great lineup of venues here today. They will introduce themselves in a little bit. But to start off, I will just give you a kind of introduction and a little bit of housekeeping. So welcome to Stamp Connect. For those who are joining for the first time, Stamp is a network of over 50 organizations who work together to take practical collective action to improve the ways in which artists are supported by organizations and valued in society more widely. Stamp Connect Online is the biggest event we run every year. It's normally held in person at Shoreditch Town Hall, but for obvious reasons, this is the first time that we are doing it online. So all sessions are captioned via Otterai. To activate closed captions, you can click on the closed caption button, which is just on the bottom of your screen. It should be kind of next to reactions at the bottom, so please do click that. If you need access to that at all, to then view the closed captions, you can also view a full transcript of the event by clicking on the top left-hand corner. That will open a new window for you. So there will be a kind of Q&A portion of the panel today. So please, please, please have a little think of questions that you would like to ask our brilliant panelists. If you have a question, you can either put it in the chat box, and I will send this through to Kaya, who's our brilliant chair today. Or if you would like to, you can ask the question yourself. So just let yourself know to me in the chat. Let me know that you've got a question and I will make sure that you get a chance to ask that over video. Great. And if you have kind of any tech trouble at all during the panel, just send me a message and I will try and help you if I can. And last but not least, we are going to be recording the session. So this will go on the Stamp website afterwards. It will just be an audio file. But if anyone has any issues with that, just let me know now. Great. I think that's everything. I will hand over to Kaya, who is our chair today.
Hi everybody, so great to have you all here. And yeah, basically we're just going to start off with by introducing our brilliant panel. So we've got Jenny McCusker from Home in Manchester, Malachi Sargent from Theatre Peckham, and Ashley Walker from The Yard. I think we're all pinned, so you can kind of choose how you view us in gallery mode or so hopefully you can see us all. We're going to start off by just talking a little bit briefly about what all of our organisations do and how we work with artists. And then, as Cindy said, we're going to dedicate most of the session to your questions that kind of follow on from that. So there should be plenty of time for us to have a wider conversation. So I'll just briefly talk about CPT before handing everyone over. So I'm Kaya, I'm the Executive Director at Camden People's Theatre. And Camden People's Theatre is a small kind of studio space in Camden, as our name suggests. And we primarily work with early career artists who make contemporary performance, which is a very, very broad field. But basically we are excited about everything weird, wonderful, you know, different artists who are challenging form, who are mixing form, who have, you know, there's no kind of requirement to have come, you know, to have had any formal training. We're just interested in brilliant stories and nice ideas. We program through a festival programming model, which means that we have lots of opportunities for artists to contact us about their shows. So our festivals are programmed via an open call, so anyone can apply to that, and it's a really great way that we often connect with and meet loads of new artists, you know, multiple times throughout the year, which is really brilliant. So for example, we have Sprint Festival, which has been running for 22 years now, which is quite astonishing, but that's a festival of where we kind of take the most risk, I guess. So risk in terms of content and what the project's about, but also where we'll program a lot of artists who've never done any kind of professional performance before, or it's the first time that they're working in that way, you know, so it's a, yeah, it's always brilliant, and you can see such a huge range of stuff at Sprint Festival. It's awesome. So that's one of the examples where we kind of have an open call. And then we have a load of artist development programs as well. Again, all like all available through an open call, so anyone can apply for them. But these include things like our Starting Blocks program, which is a 10-week residency for solo artists or artists working in very small companies like duos and stuff. And they spend 10 weeks with us, and they get space throughout that, like rehearsal space throughout that time. And it's kind of designed to try and make the whole process of making a solo show less isolating. So, you know, you kind of, you're creating your work, but on a Friday we all come together and talk about where we're at, what we're struggling with, what's going well. And, but you know, after a couple of weeks, it ends up being its own little company in itself. So everyone, it's like a peer network that everyone's kind of supporting each other and popping into rehearsals. And it's, yeah, it's really great. And some of our most extraordinary shows have come through that process. So that happens every year. And then we also have like a seed commissioning program, which is through an open call. And we've recently started since COVID kind of happened. We've managed to keep all of that stuff going, either working a little bit online or providing rehearsal space in person when we can safely. But one of the things that we did to when the crisis first happened was we set up these one-to-one sessions. We called them surgeries, but I really hate that word. We need a new name for it. But sessions with brilliant kind of industry professionals who gave up like an hour a week of their time, and you could book a half an hour meeting with them just to talk about what you're doing and where you're at. And that's been really amazing and something that we're going to just carry on with forever, which is great, and such a nice way. We managed to bring in people from outside of CPT's realm, so, you know, people who work more with new writing, or we had someone who works on like strategy and impact talking about like evaluation and stuff. So it was a really great way of like actually going beyond like mine and Brian's skill set, you know, that we can offer and have chats with you about stuff, but actually being able to draw in loads more expertise for artists to connect with. So that's been a really wonderful thing that has kind of come through this horrible time that will continue forever. And the only other thing to mention is our digital work. So initially we stayed a bit clear of the digital stuff. We kind of waited to see what was happening and had a lot of conversations with artists about how they were feeling about this whole thing. And what came from it was that they were all making absolutely brilliant work and wanted a platform to present that work. So we created CPT Digital very much in response to what a large cohort of our artists wanted to do. And it's been this lovely kind of organic process of turning into, we now have at least one event every 2 weeks, and they're anything from a podcast to a audio walk to a, you know, a shared a reading of a new show. And that's again been something that we're now looking at as a lot our longer term, exploring what our longer term strategy for that would be. So yeah, so that's kind of our main learning. I'm going to hand over to Jenny if you're happy to have a little chat about home.
Hi, I'm Jenny. So I'm head of talent development at, my dog's just fallen off the sofa. Sorry, the joys of Zoom. My dog just fell off the sofa. He's fine. So I'm head of talent development at Home. Home is, for those of you who may not familiar with us, we're in Manchester. We're a multi-art form art centre. So that means we have two gallery spaces, we have five cinema screens, all different sizes, and we have two performance spaces, one sort of studio space, which is around kind of 120 capacity, and a larger main auditorium, which has about a 450 capacity. So the brief of my team is very much about supporting artists across those art forms. So we are a team of, including myself, there's four of us, so three producers who specialise in theatre, film and digital, and visual arts. And within that, we offer a whole range of artist development opportunities, from sort of one-off workshops to residencies to commissioning at lots of different levels. We do work with artists across the country, but a lot of the work we do does have a focus on the Northwest and supporting artists within the Northwest. We support artists at all different career levels. You know, that being from working with artists who are coming out through our engagement work and how we can sort of give them a first professional opportunity, to then more established artists, you know, working with programming to make sure they're kind of on, you know, presenting work on our stages. For the past kind of, well, for the past year have been, spending a lot of time talking to artists, to see what the direction of travel looks like for us moving forward. We were very lucky that we were able to continue with a lot of our work. We switched a lot of stuff online. A lot of our commissioning opportunities, we still continued with those because we were very mindful that we wanted to continue to provide those opportunities. And again, we did go into the digital realm and we had a whole new commissioning strand called Homemakers, which we kind of started really early on, so from April onwards, and that's kind of continued. And we've done, I think we must have done about 40 different projects now under that strand, which has been really, really exciting, because we just wanted to make sure that artists could continue to make work during this time. Yeah, that's kind of a bit of an overview, really. It's probably more useful if you want to ask questions about any specific areas. But yeah, so that's home.
Great, thank you so much. Malachi, coming over to you.
Hello, my name's Malachi. I'm Associate Director at Theatre Peckham. I joined Theatre Peckham 11 weeks before we went into the first lockdown, which was a real time. That tested my producing and artistic abilities. What's really interesting about Theatre Peckham is that we've been open for a very long time, 35 years this year, but historically kind of have a track record of being like a glorified youth theatre, which is a really interesting sort of legacy to inherit and then work your way through that in a pandemic. So it's been a really interesting time to just test loads of new stuff, which is basically all we've been doing the last sort of year and a half. The way we work with artists is really kind of bespoke. And as part of that testing thing, we tried out quite a lot of different stuff, last year. So we had a artist in residence scheme where we had three artists in residence for 6 months, who were all based in our corner of London, in Southeast London. Three black queer women, one visual artist, one poet, and one actor turned playwright. Just because we believe that the sort of long-term development and support of an artist is what's most beneficial. I guess I'm coming from a sort of interesting perspective where I've never really had a job before, and all I did was kind of piss about and make plays and stuff. And then kind of being on the flip side, it's like, what would I or people like myself have wanted from a venue? And it's that long-term support. It's like nurtured, being nurtured, having a sort of safety net to fail and your failure also being celebrated. So that's kind of what that artist in residence scheme comprised of. Each of the artists in residence got a grand and a half to kind of spend how they wanted. They had a space that they could book out between the three of them throughout that period of time. I offered like sort of dramaturgy. Other members of our team supported them with like how to be a good freelancer and make sure you send your taxes on time and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, there were three R&Ds that took place in that time as well. What's really great about that is one of the artists we was working with, so my kitten is like meowing really loudly in the background. One of the artists we worked with, Barbilier Bikilwa, recently won, no, not won, but got shortlisted for the Women's Prize for Playwriting, among other awards as well. And we're supporting them now after doing an R&D and a preview in our Young Gifted and Black season last year, with their first full-length production of a trilogy that they're writing, so the second in the trilogy, which is really cool and is kind of exemplary of the way we want to work with artists. Come, join us on this scheme, support, nurture money, yes, space, dramaturgy, amazing. Come out the other side, preview your show, get some good feedback from it, use that to inform your development process. We'll do the hard work and put in an ACE application. Boom, it's your first show. Yes. I think that's kind of really illustrative of the ways we want to work with artists, alongside all of the other sort of work that we do. So we have our Young Peckham program for 17s to 25s, which is all about people who kind of already know what it is that they want to do, but want to explore that a little bit more, again, in that sort of congregational, collective, safe space to fail. So currently we have a cohort of 10 young Black producers who we're training week by week to do all of the vague producing things that we all do, budgeting, scheduling. How do you pitch your show? How do you create a tour pack? How do you work with artists? That sort of stuff. And the young producers will be producing a showcase of the work of our junior creative collective and our young creatives collective, as well as Final Drafts, which is a digital mentoring project that we started in April last year as a response to the pandemic that we're now running for the third time because people liked it. So they all got set the same brief, which was like a cute little haiku by a poet, and they're all kind of going to be responding to this with the young producers producing that showcase. And all of that is embedded within our artistic program, which sits alongside stuff like our Peckham Previews Festival, which this year is the first 2 weeks of August, which is an opportunity, which is kind of like an open call, as well as like us selecting artists we've already been working with to present new work, whether that is comedy or cabaret or theatre or spoken word or whatever, just new writing and performance generally. And then we have our 6 week Young Gifted and Black season between the end of September to November. Our Christmas show between the end of November to the end of December. And then there's like a lovely bit of time between February to April where we're going to be doing next year, like an open call for all kinds of themed stuff. So it's really great that we've been able to kind of test and play and experiment. It's kind of the direction we want to keep going in. That's enough for now.
Brilliant. Thanks so much. How exciting. Okay, Ashley, over to you.
Thanks. So I'm Ashley. I'm the senior producer at The Yard. The Yard is theatre in a converted warehouse in Hackney Wick, so kind of in funny little post-industrial, rapidly gentrifying corner of kind of like South Hackney, but we're actually in Tower Hamlets Borough, right kind of next to the Olympic Park. So we were founded 10 years ago, and we're only meant to be open for like 3 months, and it was kind of pop-up space. But we've managed to stay open since then. I think hopefully carve out a bit of space that feels quite unique. So we're a theatre. We present and make plays and also live art and also kind of everything in between. So we're really interested in kind of genres and forms that slip between a kind of British playwriting tradition and contemporary performance and live art. In our bar, which is next door to the kind of theatre space, we, in normal times, host parties and events late into the night. And a lot of the events that we host kind of have performance threaded through them. So you might come to an event with DJs and dancing, and then there's kind of performance art that's happening across the space. And we're interested in, the kind of, I guess, the relationship between like club-based or party-based cabaret and performance and live art and how that kind of relates to what we think theatre is. We also run two community centres, so one in Hackney Wick and one in East Village, which is just in Stratford in the kind of new Olympic neighbourhood. And from there, we run a programme of theatre making for children from 4 through to young people at 19. And we also host kind of other kind of arts and non-arts based activities for local residents. So like subsidised yoga, there's an after school kind of like arts and crafts club for children as well. During the pandemic, we've also shifted to running a kind of what we call the Exchange, which is kind of like a food bank but that's also for local residents to share other kind of things that they have and things they need. We do a lot, basically. We're quite a small organisation. We've grown quite quickly. And I think that one of the consequences of the pandemic was a real moment of pause and reflection that I think has been really useful. So one of the things we realised is we just did loads, and the venue was always incredibly busy with a show on till 10 p.m. and then suddenly shifting around and it's a party, and that's kind of like all the way through the year. And I think we realised we wanted to do less and we wanted to do what we do better. So we've gone this period of reflection and kind of refining what our vision is, what work we want to make. We want there to be more of a relationship between the parties that happen in the bar and the work that happens in the theatre, and really interested in exploring what that is. We realised that we wanted to support artists better. So a big change that I'm really excited about is that our commissions have grown a lot in the last year, almost kind of doubled. And we're going to be commissioning work that happens in the bar space for the first time. So rather than be a kind of venue for hire for some really exciting collectives from across London, we're also going to be kind of commissioning artists and collectives to make stuff in that space, which is really great. And we've also done a massive review supported by two freelance producers, Laura Sweeney and Ashley Beaumont. They sort of helped us review our fees in relation to salaries at the Yards. And so we, as of April, as of today, 1st of April 2021, our fees have increased artists quite significantly. So that's really exciting. As a producer, I'm excited about that side of things. And I guess, yeah, fits into the theme of us doing a bit less, but doing it better. And perhaps, you know, I think something that we've really heard over the last year is that artists haven't been supported to do their work, and they haven't been able to survive. And so we want to make sure when an artist works with us, the fees we pay them are enough for them to make their best work. And they're also supported by, you know, an increased sort of access budget, and just kind of have a bit more support from the staff team as well. We've also in the last year been reflecting what development means for us, and have launched I think my internet's bad, so I hope Kai, maybe just wave if you can't hear me.
It went out a little bit, but you're fine at the moment.
Okay, great. We launched a scheme called Live Lab, which was a programme of artist development for artists of all kind of practices who want to direct theatre, and we kind of quite a broad understanding of what that is. So we've got kind of cabaret artists, we've got you know, performers who want to kind of make that transition to leading a team to create a piece of theatre, and so they've been getting some teaching from some really amazing artists, and then they'll do an R&D with us. And I think that, you know, we want to bring a scheme like that back next year, because I think it feels really important to have something outside of programming and commissioning, which is about giving artists space to develop their practice. So in terms of where we're at now, we've done loads of reflection, we've got a new vision, we're going to work on some new values, we've increased our fees, we want to start doing, we really want to get open and start making it all happen. So at the moment, the plan is to be open in the summer. As you can imagine, running a relatively small venue with a bar that's normally full of people dancing and getting up close and personal and sweaty doesn't really work with social distancing, so we're kind of reliant on that lifting. I'm really excited about the programme for next year. We've got some stuff that we were going to do pre-pandemic that we've kind of shifted, but we've also got some new commissions, and as I say, kind of stuff that's going to move between the theatre and the bar space, investing in that bar space as well as the work that happens in our kind of theatre auditorium. So I hope to be able to welcome you back to the Yard this summer. So let's all hope the vaccine rollout goes well.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Just a little reminder, if anyone who's not muted could mute themselves, that would be amazing, just so we don't interrupt the chat too much just yet. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. And I think it's so exciting to hear like so many different approaches and like moments of how you've been reflecting on stuff. I'm going to extend the invitation for everyone to anyone who has any questions to start kind of posting them in the chat. You're welcome to direct them at a specific organisation, but yeah, also just general questions that we can ask to the whole panel. So before we move into that, I think it would be really useful for all of you to, some of you have alluded to this, but just to give us a bit of an overview on how, if an artist wanted to build a relationship with you, how they might go about that. And I know that that's probably different for different schemes that you run or different programs that you run, but I think it would be really, yeah, that would be really great to hear a bit more about. So Ashley, I'm going to reverse the route and come to you.
Yeah, so our emails are always open to say hello. We're going to be kind of launching probably too much, but we're going to introduce a new email address. So no matter what kind of your practice is, whether you want to put on parties or plays or anything in between, you can get in touch with us and say hi. In terms of kind of commissioning and stuff, really those first emails are like the start of a relationship. And so we'd normally say hello, find out more about them, have a chat and kind of take it from there over time. We also though have points in the year that we do specific open calls. So open call for Live Lab, the artist development program I talked about, and we do open calls for another program called Live Drafts, which is about testing new ideas on the stage. So it's kind of like R&D program. So there's kind of a few points, 3 or 4 points during the year where we specifically call out for artists to get in touch with us, and where I guess that process between like saying hello and work being on the stage is much quicker. But otherwise, we're just really open to saying hi, seeing people's work and kind of building a relationship over time.
Great, thank you. Malachi?
Yeah, quite similar actually. There's an email address which is really just programming@theatrepeckham.co.uk. If you've got any kind of ideas or things that you want to present but you're still not sure whether you're at that stage yet, our team is super friendly, and we can just be like, maybe you need some space to develop it and we can offer you like a day or something. It's all really like bespoke. There's no real fixed way of doing stuff, because life, isn't it? There's no real fixed way of doing whatever. But there's also like a programming request form if you've got like a whole sort of show that you're ready to just like take on the road or whatever, and I can drop a link to that in the chat. And if you've ever wanted to take a show to the Camberwell Peckham border, we'd be more than happy to hear from you.
Wonderful, thanks. And Jenny?
Yeah, pretty similar again. We have a programming email that people can get in touch with, and we will always get back to people on that email. We also commit to having 2 open calls a year for various commissions. So there will always be an opportunity that anybody can apply. So it doesn't rely on that you kind of know who to reach out to, or, you know, hopefully we can get new artists through those open calls. We also run, again, I don't really like the word, but we do run talent development surgeries where anybody, and we've been running them for the past few years, and anybody can book online. And that's a way of, if you just want to start a conversation or you want some help with kind of an idea or a project, or you don't quite know where to pitch things, that's a really good starting point. So they're available to book on our website. And again, because we have that cross art form, that is, you know, you can book in with either theatre, visual arts or film and digital as well. So we have those opportunities. And then throughout the year, yeah, we try and, like the others have said, build on conversations by offering. It might be some space, it might be some seed funding. We have a kind of an R&D program that runs throughout the year, so we try and kind of look at those opportunities where we can. So it's a real mixture of sort of curated and kind of open call.
Great, thank you. In terms of those, would you be happy to put those email addresses and the links to any of those things in the chat? I think that would be really great. And from a CPT point of view, We, there's our email addresses are available on the website. We also do like a lot of open calls. And I think similar to how, like what Malachi was saying, you know, once we start a relationship with an artist, normally that kind of starts from a project, like an artist has got a project that will end up in Sprint or it'll end up somewhere else. And if that goes well, the way that we develop the relationship with that artist is totally bespoke to how that piece of work needs to develop or how that artist needs to develop. So it might be that you've done one night at Sprint and then you want to bring that show back, and so we have a conversation about doing a slightly longer run. Or it might be that that show's completely done for you and you're talking about the next thing, and we support that. So I think there's definitely a focus on trying to be responsive too, because everyone works differently, everyone develops work at a different pace and at a different scale, and we try and kind of respond to that as much as possible. Hilariously, someone's at my door knocking, so I'm going to hand over to Cindy to ask the first question, and I'm going to run away for 30 seconds. It's hilarious, isn't it? And I'll be back. So thanks, Cindy.
So a question came through. I know, Ashley, you responded in the chat, but just about whether people are looking to program digital work and online work kind of carrying forward into the rest of the year. And I thought it'd be great to kind of open that up to all of you. Ashley, maybe we start with you, as it was directed specifically to the Yard first.
Yeah, we did an online festival last May, Yard Online, which was really, really, really great fun. Included like one-on-one performance over the phone with Stacey Mikishi, a party that happened on Animal Crossing, if you can believe it. Yeah, it was great. And then our kind of focus really shifted to commissioning and programming for when we can open to make live work. I think the essence of what the Yard is a bit. Never say never with digital work. I think our focus is now, getting back in the venue, producing some live theatre and events. We will be kind of, we're going to start like filming and sharing our work more consistently, which we haven't ever really done before, which I think is a really good thing that's come out of the pandemic, like recognizing that there are audiences that just can't get to your venue, but we're not so focused on kind of commissioning purely digital work at the moment, I'd say.
Great, thank you. Jenny or Malachi, do you have anything that you want to chat about in terms of your digital program going forward? Is there anything that's worth kind of mentioning in terms of how you're, if you're seeing that as part of your longer term strategy, or anything?
So last year we had like quite a bit of success between the lockdowns of our Young Gifted and Black season, where 5 out of the 6 weeks of stuff that we programmed, which was a mix between live work and digital work, happened. And then the bits that didn't happen became digital. So we were working on a new writing project called Scratch That, which was for 2 writers. One was an actor and one was a podcast producer who had written their first plays, and received mentorship from, 2 director dramaturgs, Anthony Simpson Pike, who's associate at the Yard, and Emily Abouf. And that was great. And then we were meant to have our show and then we didn't. So then we sent all the actors USB microphones and recorded it on Zoom, commissioned a sound designer to make it all sound beautiful, and then released them as audio dramas at the end of last year. And that was a really fun, dynamic way of working. That whole experience of having that blended program of some workshops being online and then some panel events being online and then a theatre show here and whatever is something that was really quite enjoyable. Definitely something we're going to continue to do. We don't really have a budget to commission stuff. Everything is kind of on a whim and a wing and a prayer at the moment, but, it's definitely part of our ambitions to keep working with that sort of hybrid model.
Yeah, and I think similarly from Holm's point of view, I mean, as an organisation, we've always had quite a digital focus. So we will definitely continue with a hybrid model moving forward. So our PUSH festival, which is a festival of Northwest work, which happens on an annual basis, We have digital commissions as part of that, and that will, again, that will continue. We're also looking at the like our website, what our website can do, and looking at, because there were, we quickly found with the projects, the homemakers projects, which was our digital commissions, that the website had limitations and there was issues with the work that we wanted to do. So we are looking at a different platform and how we can, continue with that work, but like kind of make it work better. We're really mindful of the fact that in terms of sort of audiences returning, that not everybody is going to be, you know, whenever that date happens, that social distancing is released, that, you know, audiences are necessarily going to be coming straight back. So, and also artists, similarly, there's a lot of artists who are not yet ready to kind of come back and start making work in front of an audience. So we're trying to make sure we continue with opportunities to support those artists and audiences. So kind of having a digital output is a kind of key, a key thing that we'll continue to do that.
Yeah, we're quite similar at CPT. I mean, so the CPT digital thing has been very much artist led and, you know, put together with artists coming to us with ideas. Back in the summer, we launched a new kind of strand of commissioning called Outside the Box, which was our way of kind of throwing the doors open to say what does live mean. It didn't have to be digital at all. You know, it could be in person, outside, like whatever. We kind of wanted to just ask the question and to see what came out of that. And that's been a really extraordinary process. What's been really interesting is that a lot of the projects that we've created have naturally had quite a strong connection with community, like with our community, or have been developed in some way in partnership with our community. So we've got so the four projects that came from it was like one series of podcasts, an audio walk that is launching in May actually, where it's like a verbatim interview with all of these students who used to go to a school that was demolished in Westminster and is now like luxury flats, and it's an audio walk that you can kind of take yourself around. You can also listen to watch a visual version of it. We had like a R&D that was all about so kind of environmentally focused like live performance, but developed in a socially distanced way, and then a show that's going to be live streamed at the beginning in mid-April. And so it was amazing to see the kind of breadth of work that came from that, and I think that's certainly something we want to take forward. And similarly to like Jenny was saying, looking into the autumn and like what's happening, we're having a lot of conversations with the artists who we might program in that season about how we what that hybrid model is, how we respond to any restrictions that might come to, you know, that might happen and might be reintroduced. But it feels like a really exciting point, especially because CPT artists are often artists who do kind of work across lots of different forms, and it feels like this has opened up a whole other way of like imagining that space, which is really great. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go to a question to everyone. So this is from Esther. Thanks, Esther. So has the last year enabled you to reach audiences and artists outside of your usual local area? And is this something you think you'll continue? And if so, how? I'll come to Malachi first.
Yeah, it's been really fascinating one, actually. With our Young Peckham program, we kind of launched that in the pandemic. It was one of the first things I wanted to do when I came into the role. And yeah, we're kind of discussing that at the moment because we put out a call out for four projects, final drafts, which is for writers aged 14 to 21, junior creatives, which is 12 to 16s, the young creatives, 17 to 25s, and our young producers, also 17 to 25s, which sits amongst our resident young company, which are part-time employees through the Kickstarter scheme, and our rep company of actors as well. So that kind of all sits amongst our Young Peckham program that we're in dialogue with each other. What we weren't anticipating is to get 120 applications for those programs. What we also weren't anticipating is, because we said that the first bunch of sessions for the foreseeable future would be on Zoom, is that we've got applicants and people on the programmes now who live in Gloucestershire and Bournemouth and Birmingham and lots of other places that aren't London, which is beautiful and fantastic. The question is, how do we get them all to London for their Young Peckham showcase on the 21st of May? Pondering that. But it's really great that we managed to engage people with this call out that we didn't necessarily expect to reach so far, you know, to all places across England, even the Isle of Wight, which is amazing. But generally speaking, it's been kind of difficult to measure because Theatre Peckham doesn't really have a history of producing work. So we're not able to see whether the projects that we did online and then converted to digital had the same sort of effect that other theatres might be able to measure easier. But with like the Young Peckham, I guess that's the only sort of example I could give about something that we started in the pandemic and then that kind of rippling outwards.
Great. It's really interesting. Jenny, have you found the same thing?
Yeah, we have. I think we, certainly on sort of our open access workshops, you know, whereas before when they would happen in the building, it'd be obviously a very local artist who would come to those. But yeah, we've definitely found that it's been, accessed by people across the country. And I think, you know, that's great. And for us, because our budgets are limited as well. And what's been great is about the people we've been able to ask to deliver work as well. You know, we've been able to reach out sort of across the country and internationally for people to kind of come and deliver work, which we just wouldn't have been able to do in the past. So that's been really good in terms of connecting artists. I think because a lot of our open call work and things tends to be geographically focused, so we do say sort of, you know, it's for people, artists living and making work in the Northwest. We haven't seen that change because we're quite specific about that. But yeah, I think certainly, you know, that we have broadened the reach of home, and certain the sort of homemakers commissions has, you know, that's been viewed across, again, internationally, across lots of different countries. So again, that's a reach that we never would have had by the work that we've had in the building. So yeah, I think that will continue. I think, you know, like I said, we will continue to deliver work online, for all sorts of reasons. So yeah, that, I think it will continue.
Great. Thanks. And Ashley, do you have anything that you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I think sort of yes and no is the answer. I mean, I think for our artist development programmes and the digital festival that I talked about, we've definitely reached artists and audiences from around the world, actually. And the cohort for Live Lab is from across the UK. But I think one of the things that we've reflected on this year is that we want to kind of renew our commitment to working with artists and reaching audiences from our local area. So actually, I think we want to kind of bed in more in Hackney Wick and reach more audiences in Hackney and Tower Hamlets and Newham. So we're doing a really exciting project this autumn, which is commissioning a local artist, going to make a show for the theatre. We're working with a group of local young people to do a kind of really embedded like audience development project for that show to make sure that it's reaching a local audience. I think we actually kind of want to, think global context, global stories, but really engage locally.
Yeah, it's been similar at CPT. Like, our digital work has definitely reached a wider group of people, and events like this, like Stamp Connects, which would normally be very limited to people who live in London and can come to Shoreditch Town Hall, it's been really exciting that, you know, that's suddenly opened out to people across the country, you know, and there's no limitation on that. Which is quite interesting. And I think it'll be interesting to see how that kind of develops with our artist development programmes when we return to some in-person work, and whether we explore, I think we, at the moment, we feel we'd be quite open to hybrid models where some people are, you know, in person and some people are working online. And it, again, it depends on how we can support those artists best. You know, for Starting Blocks, for example, one of the things you get from that is 10 weeks of rehearsal space. And so if that person isn't able to access that, can we support them to work in another way, you know, outside of London and outside of CPT, and will they get the same or a similar kind of support from that? So yeah, lots of questions, no answers at the moment, but certainly as we return to more in-person work, I think it's going to be quite an interesting process. Okay, this is also a question to everyone. How does the access for disabled artists look like in your venues, from access to venues to financial support for personal access needs for artists? Do you have specific support in place? Jenny, I'll come to you first on that.
So we're a fully accessible building, so across our theatre, gallery and cinema screens. We offer, as part of the programme, BSL screen, BSL interpretation and captioning across the programme. We also offer that across the talent development work as well, so particularly the any workshops and things, we always make sure that we ask. What we're trying to do is actually have BSL and captioning as standard, so we don't, it's not about artists that, you know, feeling that artists asking for it, that we have that as standard, but it, you know, we always make sure that if we can't offer it as standard, that we do have tell us what you need and we'll make that happen. We do have a specific access and support budget built into the talent development program, and that's really, really broad. It can be sort of again to pay for any additional support that an artist needs to participate in a project. It can also be broader support as well in terms of caring support or childcare support and things. So we do have that built in, and that's something that we've sort of really ring fenced within the budget as well. So that's kind of what we also work with. We have in residence DANC, which are a disabled artists networking community, who work with us on they're an independent a company, and they run a lot of different workshops and events and networking for artists within the region but across the country as well. And so we worked with DANC particularly on when we were because we did reopen. I know a lot of venues haven't reopened during the pandemic. We did reopen towards the end of August. So we worked with DANC just to make sure that all the kind of COVID security stuff that we were putting in place didn't kind of, you know, that it was still fully accessible and things. So we worked closely with that group to make sure that we kind of were thinking about everything. So hope that helps.
Thank you. Ashley.
Yeah, I think this is another change really in during the pandemic. We've always been we're ground level accessible venue in that sense, which is particularly notable for the fact we host club nights, because actually a lot of clubs are like down steps, so that's something that's always been exciting. But we are based in a warehouse with kind of like dressing rooms tacked on the end, so there's definitely some work to do in kind of in terms of the venue being accessible for people who use and have disabilities. And we are building a new venue, which is going to be open in a few years, which is really exciting. But yeah, I think the big change during the pandemic has been we've got a budget to support artists to make applications to open calls for the first time. And we've also got a kind of access and wellbeing budget for all of our artistic projects, whereas before it was a bit more kind of case by case. Now we're kind of really ring fencing budget to support artists with whatever they need to take part in programs or make work with us. So I really want that budget to grow, and there's a lot of work to do there, but I'm quite excited that we've started to really make it possible for people to apply for and be part of opportunities.
Great, thanks. And Malachi?
Yeah, similarly, it's something that we're like in the process of kind of re-looking at and applying to funding for, specifically just widening access generally speaking. But in terms of like some of the physical things in the building, there were these awful doors that you had to push really hard to get in, which was just awful. which we got replaced during the pandemic. So we now have lovely, beautiful slide electric doors, which means that the rest of the venue is now fully accessible because the doors are the only thing holding us back, ironically, which is great. We also offer support for artists on like funding applications as well, with our producing team and myself. And then in terms of audiences coming to shows, if there's like, we have an option when we're booking tickets, if there's any access needs. So if you've got chronic pain, then we're not going to seat you on, you know, uncomfortable chair throughout an hour and 20 minute performance, that kind of stuff. As with everything with us, I guess it's quite bespoke. So we try and cater to people's needs as much as possible. For visually impaired people, we have like yellow strips on the stairs and stuff. Just helps guide people. We have quite a lot of ushers. We also managed to open between August to October, and we've like doubled the amount of ushers on shows, which for COVID security reasons, but also in terms of access needs, was really quite beneficial and something that we're going to keep doing. But yeah, there's still quite a bit of work to do for us.
Thanks. And yeah, at CPT, we have been able to nearly complete our capital redevelopment works, which are ongoing at the moment. So our building is going to be much more accessible. We're also going to have slidey doors, which is very exciting. But just in general, the space, if you've ever been to CPT, the foyer is very compact and often very busy, and it creates a great atmosphere, but that can be very inaccessible to a lot of people, and yeah, not the best environment. So the foyer is going to be far more open, and the access to the lift is much easier, so hopefully the whole experience is going to feel more inclusive. Anyway, we've also been kind of strategizing around how we can present more inclusive and accessible performances. Because a lot of our artists are at very early stages of their development, or they'll be doing a work in progress, and we've been exploring with a number of different partners like Extant, who are a visually impaired company, how we can start to integrate more inclusive practice into people's work in general. Rather than everyone feeling like they need to have this like huge access budget to be able to make their work inclusive, are there creative ways that we can make our work more inclusive as well? We also have dedicated funds to support artists who need any support with application processes. We accept applications in all different forms, from video to having a phone conversation, and we can provide support with actually writing those applications as well, if that's needed. We've got two more questions that I'm going to jump out. So one is, do you feel there's a leaning towards to prioritising marginalised groups of people at the moment? I'm not sure if that's if that's a response to the pandemic, or were you going, was that a direction you were going in already? Ashley, is that something that you've come across?
Yeah, I think it's been part of our reflection this year as well. We have gone on a process of learning about racism at the Yard and in our society more generally, and kind of have come up with a series of actions we're going to take to be an anti-racist venue. And one of the, you know, big things is prioritising work and commissions to artists who identify as Black, Brown, or from any kind of communities that experience racism. So that's going to be a big focus for the next, certainly in the next kind of 5 years, which is our vision, and hopefully beyond, in our new venue, which will be really exciting. So the other group that's really quite underrepresented at the Yard at the moment in terms of artists is artists that are disabled. So that's the other area of focus for us. I think I do see that, I hear a lot of that in the sector. I think the next few years will be really interesting to see if that really comes through. I think that there's been a lot of commitments made in the last 12 months that really need to be, that we all need to be accountable for. And so I'm kind of hopeful that the sector can really step up and start prioritising the artists that are just not seen, and the communities that are not seen in our theatres enough at the moment.
Thanks. Malachi, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah. I think Theatre Peckham has kind of been doing the work since we opened in, you know, 1986. It's always been about prioritising the underrepresented, the underprivileged, and creating equity that is transparent throughout our programming. Like when we reopen, we've got an audio drama that takes place on a stage with a touring theatre company, which is really cool. We've also got a week-long R&D with a company based in Bradford, exploring how to create a new piece of work for under sevens with autism and their families. We've got our specific Young Gifted and Black season, which is about prioritising young voices from the Black community across the capital. And yeah, the intersections within that. So Black queer working class folks like myself, Black disabled artists, Black artists who are neurodivergent, Black artists who, you know, grew up in a rural countryside spot and then moved to London and then realised that there were other Black people. It's always something that we do. It's great that the sector's now like realised that racism exists. Yeah, great. Let's start to actually do some stuff. So I too am curious to see what's coming next and how we can avoid tokenistic gestures in that process.
Yeah, I totally agree. Jenny, is there anything you want to add briefly?
I'm just sort of mindful of the time there. I think, again, we wanted to look. I think what we spent the last year focusing on is how we can support artists to access our work. So I think it's all very good saying we really want to encourage, you know, artists, diverse artists from everywhere to apply. But we looked at kind of the way we were doing things and gone, well, that's not really going to help. So just really quickly, we introduced a change to our commissioning process. So we introduced a two-step process for those commissions. A first step, which is a very quick expression of interest, and then we introduced a second step, which was about supporting the shortlisted artists to make a fuller application. So the artist selected will get a bursary support. It's only a £50, but just to help them write that application, so a bit of money towards that, because we know there's a huge amount of unpaid labour that goes into all of these commissions, and we want to look to address that. So for any open call, there will always be that bursary support for those artists who get through to that second stage. We also built in that they each would have a producer surgery support, so for an hour with the producer to support that writing of that application. So again, it takes away that as an artist, you're really good at writing application forms, because that's not what we're interested in. And then we also looked at how we commit to detailed feedback at that point as well, so we can kind of make sure that we are giving that support as well. So that will be that process will be across. The other thing that we wanted to do was to not always have the decision making sitting with the venue. So we now are embedding artists in all of our decision making. So we work with an artist panel, which is freelance artists who are paid to shortlist with us. And the shortlisting process is very much led by those artists. So we're bringing in different views, and it trying to take away that kind of feeling that venues make that decision. So again, that's something that you'll see as a feature of all of our open calls that we'll work with. And that came out of our conversations with the Freelance Task Force. We had a representative on the Freelance Task Force, and we worked very closely about how do we encourage a wider range of artists to access our work. So that's kind of how we've responded to sort of what we, how we were working.
Great, thank you. And there's a final question. I might actually have to come over to the person who asked it, which I think is Ben. The question is about what support can your organisations offer to freelance non-artist arts workers, so participation producers. Ben, if you're there still, do you want to just expand on that a little bit and clarify what you mean by that?
Hi, everyone. I think, it's just coming from the lens of being a kind of independent producer around sort of like socially engaged work. I think sometimes in the kind of conversation when we're thinking about supporting the creative sector that sort of like non-artist art workers aren't always in the conversation. They're obviously like very integral to, yeah, the kind of arts world. So just thinking about like what support might already be in place or is planned with the organisations to support kind of, you know, like producers, technicians, people that aren't sort of like artists but are arts workers.
Great, thank you. Well, I guess from a CPT point of view, a lot of our the practitioners that we work with, like especially from a community point of view, I think we support in exactly the same way as we would any artists in our program. So we would accept, you know, applications from any background to put a project together for, you know, one of our schemes. And I think we'd be really interested in hearing from them. I think one of the big things that we do is supporting things like STAMP and like this. So CPT chairs the STAMP network, and we run events throughout the year that are focused on all sorts of different specialisms, from writing contracts to like budgeting and finance. And there, you know, so there's opportunities for us to connect with lots of different people from all sorts of different specialisms that way. I think it's been particularly hard for certainly our technical team. I think it's been a really, really difficult year, and we've had very little capacity to, well, there's been, yeah, we know that there's been such little support for freelancers of all backgrounds. But I think from our, like, our technicians' point of view, some of them have been absolutely amazing and like turn their work into, you know, started learning everything digital and being able to live stream. But I know that for, in terms of how we're supporting our technicians going forward, our biggest thing is to get our building open. And I think that as much as there's a kind of mix between wanting to provide as much certainty as possible for artists and everyone, you know, putting work back on the stage, but we're so aware that if we waited for certainty, there's a whole group of people who would not be working again and would not be back in our building. So we've had to try and find that balance between taking a risk of opening, you know, with social distancing in place, and finding a way of making that working for everybody, because otherwise we can't just, you know, stay closed and wait for that moment where it's all sorted. So that's kind of how we've approached it. I'm aware that we've run over, so I don't know if any of the other speakers want to have anything to add to that briefly.
Yeah, I'll jump in quickly. Hi Ben, good to see you. Quickly, we recognise that there's not a lot of sort of entry level stuff, particularly for marginalised producers, technicians, etc. So we just have done a huge sort of job situation, recruitment process, that's the one, where we've had 10 different roles available, from 5 theatre maker roles and then all the sort of behind the scenes stuff. So development officer, creative learning assistant, assistant producer, operations assistant, and someone in the technical team. And then we also got funding from Jack Petchy to have someone who is from a Black or global majority background to shadow our technical team for a year with a full-time paid internship, which is great, at London Living Wage. And then aside from that, we have a budget to kind of produce a series of workshops once our venue is reopened, to just bring people together as part of our sort of Love Local series of stuff. And that will also include like an artist producer date night, which will be like a sort of sober party gathering situation in our foyer space, where it's just like an opportunity for lots of artists to meet their producers ahead of our Peck and Previews festival. So some of our participating artists might meet there, the producers might come along to see their show, and hopefully there's some sort of lovely collaborations that happen that way. So keep your eyes and ears to the ground for that. But that's kind of the starting point for where we want to go in terms of supporting non-artists, artists.
Great, thank you. I'm going to bring this to a close now, and just to say thank you to all of our speakers, and thank you to Cindy for coordinating this whole conversation. It's been really great and lovely to see you all here. I hope it's been useful and interesting. You've got the email addresses in the chat. I'd recommend you copy them now if you haven't done already, because the chat will disappear as soon as we close the Zoom link. But just a reminder that the transcript will be available on the Stamp Connect, on the Stamp website in the next couple of weeks, I imagine, along with the audio recording of this, so you'll be able to refer back. And thanks for your brilliant questions. It's been just lovely to have this chat, so really appreciate it, and have a lovely afternoon for all of you who are going on to other stamp things. Enjoy. I might see you in those sessions later on. And yeah, speak to you all soon. Thanks so much. Oh, thanks, Ashley, for jumping in there with your little note. All right. Take care, everybody. Bye bye.